Jason, this is Wayne Christian.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program here today to join us after your second chairmanship, I guess would be the made-up word I'm going to call it right now, but unanimously elected here to the Texas Railroad Commission. Congratulations, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, and I appreciate that. It's an honor to be, the Railroad Commission of Texas is the oldest regulatory agency on earth for oil and gas, and it's quite an honor. Not that I've done anything great, but that agency itself has established itself as the premier organization for regulatory on planet Earth. By Forbes magazine, by the way, said that. So it's an honor to be at the head of that great agency.
I was just going to mention that many people consider it either competitive with OPEC or the real OPEC when it comes to energy and supply chains and et cetera, because not only do you guys do railroad, but you also do oil and gas and pipelines. I believe pipelines. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Natural gas pipelines and oil pipelines, we regulate those. And we no longer do the railroads. The railroads have not gone to PxDOT, so they are now totally out of our control. But I guarantee you a good half of the calls we get in my office are about railroad problems.
Still railroad problems. Oh, boy. Boy.
That's right.
But, you know,
the train whistle I used to give away.
Well, the one thing, though, I will say, as an entrepreneur, I like to consider myself an entrepreneur. One of the things that I learned on my own very quickly was that the railroad seems to be the backbone of America, and the trucking industry and the pipelines seem to be the arteries and the veins.
Yeah, you're very true. And what happened originally, 100 years ago when oil and gas became a commodity, all of a sudden the need was the way that you transported, the only way you could transport it was by the railway. And that's why the Railroad Commission, who was regulating the trains to start with, then became oil and gas regulator, because if you transported oil and gas, as you said, it was by the railroad.
So let's transition to modern day now that we got the history class out of the way there. But I find that stuff fascinating. I could talk all day about that, but we've got to get to serious business here. So a lot of companies right now are planning, their year-end reports, getting ready for 2022. Let's just kind of look at the last year a little bit, because you've been there for a little while now. What are some things that, oil companies, natural gas companies, whether they're transitioning into wind and solar and I don't know if hydro and nuclear are considered renewable anymore or what, but just talk to me a little bit about the year in review from your office.
Well, of course, this past year, of course, we went through the last 2 years or year and a half have been quite unbelievable. And of course, we started when I was last chairman with the Saudis and Russians had this fight against the price of oil and gas, and then the Chinese came in with COVID, and we went through that entire event and wound up our price of West Texas Intermediate went to a negative number for the first time in history. We were then challenged to prorate the production of oil in the state of Texas, and I made the decision not to do that, to let the free market do it rather than big brother government come in and tell the industry what to do. And thankfully, the price of oil has gone up since that date that we put certainty back in the market. Then came Storm Uri this past year, and all of a sudden we had this lockdown of a lot of folks, and I shared something with Bill Clinton during that time. I felt the pain of my constituents as I was locked down for 5.5 days without power all alone. And so it was a very catastrophic event. Lives were lost. And hopefully we learned some lessons and are working very hard to correct some of the things and pointed out what the sad truth was during that storm is that we have spent so much time in the state of Texas and the United States defending, supporting, financing the undependable energy at the cost of letting the pilot light go out on our dependable sources of energy, which are gas, nuclear, and coal.
You mentioned the free market, and that, of course, is music to many people in the oil and gas industry's ears because of just the supply chain. I joke that you got the upstream, the downstream, the midstream, the salmon stream, the trout stream, because there's a lot of cafes and flower shops. And, of course, I'm actually considered in the communication business. I'm not considered oil and gas. There's a lot of trucking companies considered in the transportation business, which isn't considered oil and gas. So there's a lot of different economies based on the oil and gas industry. A lot of regulations are starting to come into play or being discussed. Talk to me a little bit about the relationship that's going on between small business, government control, and impending regulations?
Well, the problem is coming from Washington, D.C. primarily. Of course, you've got a president of the United States is telling oil and gas, just keep it in the ground. That shut down all production on federally regulated property, on the federal lands, and as much as he could out in the oceans, the Gulf, primarily, and off the coast. So they've shut down offshore all as much as they can. They shut down that. And then he goes and bows down to OPEC and begs them to increase production because for some mysterious reason, after he shut down production in the United States, the price of gasoline is going up, and it's not working too well in his polling. There was a newspaper this morning, this little internet paper that talks about big picture. After OPEC plus a powerful group of oil-producing nations decided not to drastically increase production despite causing the U.S. to ramp it up. And you're sitting there, and they said, consider the option. Here's what the federal government is now considering. It's considering releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. This is insanity. You've got an administration that's shutting down our oil and gas production, begging OPEC, and considering the panic move of opening the strategic reserves and shutting us. It's an insane situation. But that's the big challenge now, is a federal government that is doing everything they can do to destroy production in the United States and Texas.
Let's talk a little bit about Texas production and kind of maybe what some of the operators should be looking out for, whether it's I don't know if the right word is buzzwords going into 2022 or, you know, what is kind of on the forefront, but there's always, you know, emission management was 1 year. Another year was innovation. Of course, pipelines was another year. Do you see things that are either sticking out in your mind or things that are specifically being told to you that energy companies should prepare for in 2022?
Let me tell you, the governor of Alaska at the last energy summit gave the lead talk, and he said something I believe is probably mostly appropriate right now. There's always a little bit of differences, but he said there's no real issue that technologically we can't conquer. There's no real problem that the oil and gas industry has, the fossil fuel industry has, that's in any way what we cannot accomplish technologically or by development or by hard work or by financing. Said there is one problem and one problem alone to the petroleum industry, and that's political. That's it. Our big problem that we've got to fight are these, it's three different groups. It's special interest groups, the climate catastrophists that are saying that the climate is in a catastrophic situation. No, there is climate change, it's not climate catastrophe. And we still have weather, believe it or not just climate change. But you have those special interest groups that are driving the narrative. Secondly, you've got the media. Then you've got the government politics. And fourth, something brand new is against the free markets of our history, is a new woke free market. And these corporations are using their liability protection they were given in order to make investments and not be sued. They're using it for the first time to join with government, media, and special interest to attack the oil and gas industry in a capitalist system that's woke.
Well, I couldn't agree more with those reading of the tea leaves and reading between the lines. We've been, in fact, I'm going on our local statewide talk show later in North Dakota to discuss that very issue, is the combination of those three, four, five different agencies, whether by design or by accident, it's happening. That's what so to me, it's not a matter of arguing whether it's by design or not, because what are we going to do about it? Because it's happening. So great stuff today. Chairman now, instead of commissioners, Chairman Christian, I appreciate that very much. And look forward to talking to you down the line. Is there anything else that we should end on, I guess? I'd like to give the guests the final word, so...
Well, it's exciting to be chairman of the Railroad Commission of Texas. I assure you we're working to make sure that the things that happened so tragically during the storm are handled. We're working right now in the Midland area because of the seismic activity they've had. I can assure people, I think, something that we don't realize, probably the oldest organization in the United States and definitely in the oil and gas industry that is an environmental organization is the Railroad Commission of Texas. We have in our charter, our two things that we work first, as the first two issues is public safety and environment, to make sure it's clean. And the best friend of the environment are the folks out there that have royalties on their properties, that farm on the properties, that have oil and gas on their properties, and the people that produce oil and gas. And the President of the United States even made that fact known at the last speech to Congress when he said, we're 15% of the world environment. If we did everything right, it wouldn't make any difference to the world. And the reason is we have the cleanest industrialized nation on earth, and that is largely because of oil, gas, and coal, and the regulations that we've worked in the Railroad Commission of Texas being a climate-aware agency.
Thank you, Chairman. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, sir.